You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The top leaders of the church called an urgent meeting, and after vigorous and heated discussions, they reached a verdict. Reverend Paul Schultz, a pastor of the Evangelical Lutheran Church of West Germany, was guilty of heresy, and he was to be defrocked, or as we generally say, he was fired from his job. For such a thing to happen today in the church might seem just a little bit unusual, and so we must ask the question, what were the charges against this man, this clergyman? The situation was this. From his pulpit, this ordained clergyman was preaching and teaching that Jesus is not divine, even though the Savior, Reverend Schultz admitted, was a pretty nice guy, and that Jesus had often said a lot of good things. Of course, this kind of ridiculous preaching is precisely what led to the pastor's dismissal. This ordained clergyman was trying to convince his congregation and the church officials that the biblical doctrine, which clearly teaches that Jesus Christ is God, was merely a simplistic invention of human thinking. Attacks on the divinity of Jesus Christ are nothing new whatsoever. In fact, these attacks like this occurred repeatedly during the Savior's public ministry. One day, the Savior's enemies surrounded Jesus and asked him, "How long are you going to keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ," they said, "then tell us plainly." And so, without hesitation, Jesus responded, and he stated bluntly, "I and the Father are one." With these words, with this simple statement, Jesus claimed that he was more than a mere man. Yes, Jesus stated publicly that he was God. And, of course, this statement of Jesus, that he was God in every sense, was highly offensive to the religious leaders of that day. It was like pouring gasoline on an open fire. The Bible then tells us that the religious leaders of that day were so angry that they took up stones again in order to stone the Savior to death. Oh, I know that it might come as a surprise to some of you that there indeed were those religious leaders who hated the Savior with such a vengeance that they even considered murder. But this has been true in every generation. For example, the first missionaries and evangelists of the gospel of God faced the same conflict and the same controversy. With courage and conviction, they went about proclaiming that Jesus Christ had died, and that he was raised again from the dead, and that Jesus Christ was, in fact, the very Son of God. But no sooner had these missionaries proclaimed this Bible-based gospel than the enemies of the Savior tried to defame them and to slander them and to discredit their message and sometimes even to destroy the messengers themselves. In the Bible, in Acts chapter 18, we read about a man who got caught in this type of controversy over who Jesus Christ really is. His name was Apollos. And the Bible describes Apollos as an eloquent man, a man mighty in the Scriptures. He is described as one who had been instructed in the Lord, one who was fervent in the Spirit, and he was one who taught accurately the things concerning Jesus. Apollos also spoke out boldly in the synagogue. The Bible tells us that there arose those who opposed this missionary Apollos. You see, they were trying to deny the divinity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Apollos, however, powerfully refuted them, the Bible tells us, demonstrating by the Scriptures that Jesus was the Christ. And I think it goes without saying, wouldn't you agree, that what Apollos did as a missionary in the early church is also something that needs to be done more often today. In our generation of burgeoning cults and confused religions, it is imperative that Christian pastors and teachers preach and teach clearly that Jesus Christ is not just another prophet, one among many. The Savior is not somebody who just happened to be born, or some religious cult leader who arrived without warning or expectation. No, the truth is this. For centuries, yes, for hundreds of long years, the prophets foretold that the Savior would be born. And for generations, those who believed in the God of the Bible believed by faith that the Messiah would come to save His people from their sins. This Messiah would not be just another man, because, you see, no man can die for the sins of another person. The President of the United States cannot die to save anybody from their sin. And the Queen of England's death can never atone for anyone's sin either. Only someone who is not only man, but also God, could die for the sins of others. In this way, Jesus Christ is unique. He is not just a little bit different. Jesus is unique. He is totally unique. Jesus Christ is God. In fact, the Savior's uniqueness is especially demonstrated through the way that Jesus Christ came to be born. You see, over 500 years before the Savior was born in Bethlehem, the prophet Micah accurately foretold the birth of Jesus. And what surprises so many people is that Micah not only said that the Savior would be born, but he also stated specifically where the birth would take place. Listen as I read from the Bible, Micah chapter 5, verse 2. And remember here that the prophet Micah is speaking over 500 years before the event itself took place. And Micah named the location exactly. Micah says, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler of Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting." That's pretty interesting. Wouldn't you agree with me that over 500 years before Jesus was born, the prophet Micah stated precisely where the Savior's birth would take place, in Bethlehem of Judea? In our day and age, when we hear more and more people making fun about God and religion and the Bible, especially on television, it is difficult for us to believe that the prophecy of the birth of Jesus was so specific, and that it all took place just as God had moved the prophets to foretell it. And so now, I hope that our text for today makes a little more sense. You see, the Bible tells us that Apollos effectively refuted those who claimed that Jesus was not the Messiah. And Apollos did this by demonstrating by the Scriptures that Jesus was indeed the Christ. Apollos did not use reason. He didn't use logic. And Apollos did not depend on clever speaking. Apollos instead relied totally and completely upon the Almighty and the All-Powerful and the Eternal Word of God. Apollos appealed to the messianic prophecies, the ones which were fulfilled just as they were ordained by the Heavenly Father. This type of preaching had quite an impact, to say the least. It sent a minority of listeners into a rage of hate. But the book of Acts also tells us that this type of powerful proclamation of the cross of Christ, a type of evangelistic preaching used also by the apostles Peter and Paul, caused thousands of people to be brought to faith in the Savior. In fact, the book of Acts records that even large numbers of priests were being converted to the faith. Oh yes, my friends, the fulfillment of prophecy that we are talking about today can get some people pretty upset. Remember King Herod in the Bible? When Jesus was born in Bethlehem, then Herod the king was greatly troubled. And so St. Matthew writes in his gospel that Herod the king called together all the chief priests and the scribes of the people. Herod then began to inquire as to where the Christ was to be born. The scribes, these experts of the Scriptures, knew. Of course they knew. They knew what the Bible taught. And so they said to Herod the king that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem of Judea, for so it had been written by the prophet Micah. So now, even if you are not a believer in Jesus at this time, wouldn't you still agree with me that this is all very amazing, even astounding, that Jesus was born in exactly the place where the prophets had said the birth would take place? So now, I'm going to tell you something else that I think you are going to find absolutely fascinating. A little over 40 years ago, in the land of Palestine, a shepherd boy accidentally came upon some old scrolls or manuscripts of the Bible. Experts have studied these manuscripts over the years, and they have used a special scientific dating process called carbon-14. And through this, they have found that these manuscripts, which have contained every book of the Bible with the exception of the book of Esther, these Old Testament books were in existence decades and even centuries before the birth of Jesus. And these books themselves were originally written centuries before that time. Isn't this all amazing? The book of Isaiah, the greatest of all prophetic books, is almost precisely the way we have it today, word for word. In recent years, some people have tried to deny the importance of the Dead Sea Scrolls, but I was speaking not long ago to a friend of mine, a scholar at Harvard University, and he told me that the Dead Sea Scrolls remain one of the greatest archaeological finds of all of history. These documents prove that Jesus was not some fly-by-night cult leader, but that his coming and his appearance and his birth had been foretold by prophets for centuries prior to the birth itself. Amazing, we would say. Yes, we must even admit this is stunning in a human sense. These are the words we must use when we are talking about the Bible. Because, you see, Jesus was a direct fulfillment of the entire Old Testament. And I should point out here also that the New Testament contains over 300 full or partial quotations from the Old Testament. Now listen to this. The New Testament refers, or at least alludes to, the Old Testament over 1,000 times. So now perhaps we can better understand our text for today. Apollos was using the Old Testament to refute those who were trying to deny that Jesus was the Messiah as foretold by the prophets. Apollos, the scriptures say, publicly demonstrated by the scriptures that Jesus was indeed the Christ, the promised Messiah. This was all important in the days of Apollos, and so we must ask the question now, what does this prophecy have to say to you and to me today? It has a lot to say in this world. It means a difference between a life filled with joy and forgiveness or a life filled with a guilty conscience and uncertainty and even despair. In the life to come, this makes a lot of difference also. It makes a difference between an eternity in the presence of God or an eternity in hell, where the Bible tells us that the worms never stop eating and the fire never goes out. Oh, I hope that all of this means something to you. I pray that this means a lot to you, that this Lord Jesus Christ, who was prophesied in the Old Testament, is with you at this moment, that you don't have to think that you're always alone in the world, and that from now on, you don't have to live as if life has no meaning, and that you don't have to fear the end of your life. Jesus Christ is the Messiah, and He is living today. To those of you spending your last days in retirement or rest homes, this is all very important because, you see, knowing for sure that Jesus is the promised Messiah provides the unshakable foundation for faith and hope that the devil can never destroy. As you see your body getting older and weaker, don't worry. In Jesus, the promised Messiah, you can experience your faith becoming stronger. All this as you prepare to see your Savior in heaven face to face. And so God is speaking to you through His holy word, the Bible, when He says that the problems and the frustrations and the difficulties with your health that you are enduring at the present time are not to be compared to the glory that you shall soon experience firsthand. Oh yes, my friend, this glorious heaven is just for you. In that place there shall be no more tears, no more worries, and no more heartaches, no more health problems. The old things will have passed away, and everything will be new. All of this is going to come to pass, for sure, because Jesus Christ is the Messiah promised by God through His spokesmen, His ambassadors, the Old Testament prophets. And, of course, maybe there are those of you who are listening today who feel that this message is not all that appropriate because you are not aging and you are not retired and you are not getting older. You are young and you are healthy. You don't need to be interested in Jesus or in heaven. No, this is not true. Because, you see, this Messiah that we have been speaking about is important for you also. For no matter what our age might be, you and I make a lot of mistakes. We sin every day. And when we are honest with ourselves and when we see what kind of a failure we really are, then we can become discouraged. Very, very discouraged, even when we are young. And so if you are a child or a teenager or a young adult, you need to hear, and I need to hear, that Jesus the Messiah has died to pay for all of our sins and mistakes. And when you and I begin every day trusting completely in the sin-cleansing blood of the crucified and resurrected Messiah, then we can also be absolutely sure that we are beginning a new day with the blessings of the Almighty God. Our conscience is then clear. Life then has hope. And the future is transformed from dark clouds into eternally open skies, brightened by the Son of God. Oh yes, my friends, in our text for today, Apollos defended the Christian faith from those who were attacking it. Publicly, Apollos demonstrated, yes, he proved by the Scriptures that Jesus is the Christ. This is important. It gave the people of that day who were suffering and discouraged, it gave them hope. It is the same today. You need hope, and I need hope. And the only real, and the only reliable, and the only unchanging and eternal hope is the hope based upon the crucified and the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is real, and he is living today. Jesus is the Christ. And we can see all of this demonstrated convincingly in the Scriptures. And because of this now, you and I can look up and we can have hope and we can live now and eternally. Amen.